Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. We give you the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you for your goodness and your abundant mercies, Lord. We glorify you this morning and we thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glorify yourself, Lord, in the message of the Lord. Give us understanding and help us, O Lord, to have a grasp. We know we can't. It's impossible to understand the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the benefits and the love of God and the mercies of the living God. But give us an understanding this morning, as only you can. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we don't seem too excited this morning about the Lord. Well, I'm always excited about the Lord. So let's give the Lord a better hand clap than that. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Now, this morning, providence, faith, and mercy. That's what I'm going to be preaching on this morning. Providence, faith, and mercy. Now, I'm going to start here with providence, and I'm going to start at Psalms 90, and I'm going to explain what this message is all about. Psalms 90, and I'm going to read verse 2. Psalms 90, verse 2. Well, let me start at verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Can you say amen to that? I mean, is the Lord your dwelling place? I mean, do you live and do you move and do you have your being in him? Oh, yes. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever there was the earth formed, and even the world, before anything was made, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, so the providence of God is God's very eternal nature and his complete foreknowledge of everything. Amen? Now we're going to find out that God, you know, if you don't already know that, I hope that you will know it before the end of this message, that God knows everything. He has complete foreknowledge of everything. Before the war began, he knew it all. Can you say amen? Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. If you believe that, say amen. Oh, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, saith the Lord. He said, from the beginning, I already declare the end. My goodness. You know, that is so deep. You know, if we can only get that understanding today. He declares the end from the beginning. From ancient times, he already knows everything, and his counsel shall stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. Can you say hallelujah? I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you, that ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, before any day was created at all, he said, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Now that's how great our God is. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. His understanding is infinite. Can you say amen? There is no searching of his understanding. You say his understanding is infinite? That's exactly right. In Psalm 147 and verse 5. Psalm 147 and verse 5. It says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. I mean, his knowledge, you know, is infinite. He knows everything. And, you know, things that are yet to be, he already knows. There is nothing that is new to him. You know, the providence of God reveals his very nature. God cannot learn anything new. Can you say amen? God cannot acquire any new knowledge. He cannot acquire any new substance. You know, he cannot know anything new. You know, he already knows it all, and he already has complete knowledge of all things. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, we are told that not only does God know everything, but everything is open and naked before him, and he sees it all. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, the scripture begins to tell us about the word of God in the previous verse. Tells us how the word of God searches the heart, searches the minds, goes even inside the bones and the marrows, discerns, you know, between the spirit and the soul. And then he tells us there is no creature that is not manifest in his sight. He said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we need, you know, we have to do. He sees it all. He sees all you do. And he hears all you say. And even that which you have not yet said, he already heard it. Because he is the Lord God Almighty. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now Jesus, the Son of the living God, he also had complete foreknowledge of all things, because the Father showed him everything. You said Jesus had complete foreknowledge? Yes. In the book of John, chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 19 through 21. John chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, in order that ye may marvel. You know, so Jesus said, the Father shows the Son all things. So Jesus had complete foreknowledge of everything. You know, that's why he had 100% success rate. Amen? In healing the sick, or in raising the dead, or everything that he did. Because, you know, he had complete foreknowledge of everything. Father shows him everything, you know, and he knows everything. Now, see, well, here's the deal. We don't have that kind of foreknowledge. You know, and we never will. Because there is only one eternal God. See. But what we have is called faith. Can somebody say amen? In the book of Hebrews 11 and verse 1, it says, now, faith. See, it's the substance of things that we hope for. The evidence of what we have not yet seen. See, what God has is foreknowledge. But what we have is faith. See, I may not know what God is going to do, but I know what God is able to do. How many of you can say amen to that? Praise God. And that's the difference. See, Jesus had complete foreknowledge of everything. Well, I don't. But I got faith. You know, and if I can use my faith, and if you know how to use your faith just right, but Jesus said, if you have faith as small as this grain of mustard seed, that you can say to this mountain, and it shall be moved. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, so when we have faith, even though we don't know exactly what God is going to do, because we don't have foreknowledge, but we know what God is able to do, you know, we can begin to use that faith. And if you have faith that is potent, and sometimes God gives the gift of faith and it approaches almost to the level where God uses his foreknowledge, because when you operate in that realm, God honors the word as if it was his own word. You know, amen. So Elijah can come on the scene and say, there shall be no rain this next year except by my word. And God will honor it exactly. And Joshua can stand up and say, let the moon stay over there and not go down just yet, because I got some business to complete. And let the sun stay over there because I got some business. And God honors that word as if it was his when they operate in that realm. And that's going into the supernatural. That's going into some real powerful faith, you know. But today I'm going to talk about how these things work together, how providence works with faith and so forth. And then I'm going to talk about mercy. Now, these three, providence, faith, and mercy, they all work together. But the greatest of these is the mercy of the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Oh, I'm going to show you that in a minute, you know. So, you know, I want you to know that, you know, whereas we don't have the foreknowledge that God has, we have faith. And we can use faith the same, you know, almost the same way that God sees everything ahead of time. Because we don't need to see first. We just need to act by faith. Can you say amen? We don't walk by sight, the Bible says, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about mercy, and then we're going to bring it all together. You know, the mercy of the Lord. When the Lord began to show Moses some things in the heavenlies, he said, look, see that you do everything after the pattern that I showed you in the mount. And he gave him commandments. And he showed him how he should build some things. He even showed him to build the ark and build this and build that and so forth. Now let me read to you here what he told him about the ark and the mercy seat in Exodus chapter 25. And I'm going to read verses 21 and 22. In Exodus 25, verses 21 and 22. He says, and thou shalt put the mercy seat. And you may have heard me preach about this before here at the church. Thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above. See, the mercy seat. And from between the cherubims, which are upon the ark of a testimony, of all things which I give thee, in commandment unto the children of Israel. So God told Moses to put the mercy seat above the ark. Oh my. How many of you can say praise the Lord for that? Oh yes. You know, we know the ark represents the glory of God and his presence, you know, and so forth. It represents the covenant, you know, of goodness and his mercy, the mercy of the Lord, you know, and so forth. But, you know, it all comes to us by the mercies of God. Because it is the mercy of God that sits even above the ark. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, and lest you wonder, say, the mercy of the Lord? Absolutely. Let's read about it here in Exodus chapter 33. When Moses, he began to ponder about all these things, about the ark, the things that God told him to do and so forth. And then he prayed and said, Lord, I want you to show me your glory. And here's what happened in Exodus chapter 33. And let me read to you here in verse 18. And he said, I beseech you, Lord, show me thy glory. Now, this was Moses speaking to the Lord. And the Lord said unto him, I will make my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. That's the Lord. The Lord told him, I'm going to make my goodness pass before thee, and I'm going to proclaim to you the name of the Lord. And I will be gracious. Now this is where the message is at this morning. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will have show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That's the Lord. That's how he does it. You say, you know, and he told him, he said, well, you know, you cannot see my face because nobody is going to see my face and leave. And Moses, he wanted to see that glory of the Lord so bad. And he kept pressing the Lord for it. So finally, the Lord descended in Exodus 34 and 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. And the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh yes, now let's see what God has to say about himself. You know, because, you know, we call the Lord so many different things. We call him Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. We call him Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. We call him Jehovah Rofeka, the Lord that healeth us, and so forth. You know, sometimes it's because of how he revealed himself, and sometimes it's because of the mercy of God that somebody experienced, and then they give the Lord these various names and attributes and so forth. But let's see what the Lord has to say about himself. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, Exodus 34 and 5, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God. Oh my, now this is God talking about himself. And here's the first thing that he says about himself. Merciful and gracious. How many of you say hallelujah? Long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Now this is what God, this is the picture that God wants to paint about himself in your life. Merciful and gracious. Hallelujah. Long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth. Keeping mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Hallelujah. Oh my. God, he first of all proclaimed his mercy. He talked about all of his goodness before he talked about his severity. See? Now, if you receive the mercy of the Lord, you don't have to worry about his severity. But if you reject his mercy, then you're going to have to deal with his righteousness and his severity. And the severity of the Lord is this, that he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and even to the fourth generation. But first, he wants the people to receive his mercy. Can you say amen? So he put the mercy of the Lord first. And he told him, put the mercy seat above the ark and all of these things, representing, you know, the highest. Oh my, praise God. The mercy of God is God himself. Praise God. It is his very nature to be merciful and to be gracious. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That is his very nature, you know. And so sometimes, you know, how do these things, mercy and faith and providence, walk hand in hand? Well, providence, you know, that's from God's perspective, you know. He knows everything and he knows what he's going to do and he puts it out there. You know, that's his mercy, that's his prerogative. He can do anything he wants and he can call the things that are not as though they already are. You know, and he can speak. He can say, let there be. He can just will it and it happens. You know, he can look at the darkness and his spirit can move and he can say, let there be light. And there will be light. As soon as he said, let there be light, there was light. Can you say amen? And he can say, let the sea and the lands bring forth abundantly these things and that thing and whatever. And it will happen just like he says it. Because when he speaks, it is done. And when he commands, it stands fast. Can you say praise the name of the Lord? Until this day, what he spoke concerning the sun and the moon, they are still obeying it. Till this very day. So let them be for signs. And let them be over here and so forth. Until this day, he spoke one time. And they still obey his voice. Hallelujah. Now that's his providence. And he can say, you know, the providence of the Lord. He can say and put those things out there. But we're going to see how faith works with that. What I want to do in this message is show you how faith can work without providence, especially where you can latch on to the mercy of the Lord. And I'm going to show you some examples here in the Bible. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Before I do that, let me read something to you about how God describes faith. Now, we've read Hebrews 11, but I'm also going to read Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. Talking about the faith of Abraham, you know, how God described it. And I want to bring out a few points out of that. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Now, when God gave promise, see, to Abraham, here's what the Bible said of him. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. See, before whom he believed. See, Abraham believed that. He believed in God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God can do that. And Abraham, you see, the Bible says, who against hope believed in hope. See, against all hope, against all odds, he believed that he might become the father of all nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. See, because 100 years old and couldn't have a child. Sarah, you know, 90 years old, yet didn't have a child, you know. And when he was about 100 years old, you know, and even the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was about 90 years old. You know, Abraham didn't worry about any of that. He just got a hold of the promise of God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being persuaded. See, this is what faith is. Being persuaded that what God has promised, God was also able to perform. How many of you can say amen to that? Now that's what real faith is. See, you are persuaded about what God has promised. You may not know exactly what he's going to do in his providence, but you know what he can do. And you are persuaded that what he has promised, he is able to do. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And if you know how to walk that, God will stand behind that faith. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Because Jesus himself said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? Without faith, in Hebrews 11 and 6, it is impossible to please the Lord. In fact, without faith, it is impossible to receive the mercy of the Lord. And the examples that I'm going to show you here in a few minutes, you will see how people use their faith to receive the mercy of the Lord. Now, let's turn to 2 Kings, chapter 20. And here is the story of Hezekiah in 2 Kings, chapter 20. Hezekiah, you know, great grandson of David in there, whatever, you know, and he was king at that time. But here's what happened. In those days, Hezekiah 20 and verse 1. In those days, was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now this sickness that he had, you know, he's going to die. You know, because, see, the Lord already foresaw that sickness, that it was going to bring him down to his grave. So he sends the prophet to tell him, you know, just put your house in order, because, you know, you're not going to make it. You know. And the prophet came to him in the message of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, and said to him, set your house in order, you're not going to make it. That's what the Lord asked me to tell you. You know. So, well, you may look at it this way, you know. That's what God told him. Told the prophet to tell him. See, but see, God already knows all things. See, God knew the end of this story. See, but he also knew, you know, one way that Hezekiah could go and another way that he could go, because the Lord is almighty. He knows everything, you know. And Hezekiah could have said, well, you know, The Lord said, I should set my house in order, and I'm not going to make it, I'm going to die. And he could have begun to set his house in order, you know, because the Lord sent the prophet to tell him that he was going to die. But Hezekiah turned his face unto the Lord, to the wall, and prayed unto the Lord, and said, Lord, I beseech you. Now that's getting a hold of his mercy. Can somebody say amen? He said, well, you know, maybe I'm going to die someday, but not today. Can somebody say amen? Oh yeah. He said, I beseech you, Lord, because I know that you are a merciful God, in so many words. Oh Lord, I want you to remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I have done that which is good upon in the sight of the Lord. And he began to weep sore before the Lord. And he got a hold of the mercy of God. And he told God so many other things that are not recorded here. He probably said, Lord, I know that you are a merciful God. And I know that you promised my father David that there shall not fail a son to sit upon his throne. And he probably said so many things. I got a hold of the mercy of God. Praise God. He wasn't going to say, Ko sera, sera, what will be, Now some people say, well, you know, the Lord told him he's going to die. He could have just said, you know, I'm going to die. But he said, no way, not today. Amen. Can somebody say, praise the Lord. Now these things are written in the scriptures for our examples. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And you can use your faith the same way, latch onto the mercy of God, and you can turn what you might have called providence. Because the Lord, of course, the Lord knows the outcome of everything. But, you know, he could have gone one way, or he could have gone the other way. You know, and some people say, well, somebody may even call, this was a prophet that told him this. This was not even just anybody. This was the major prophet in the land at that time that told him this. But Hezekiah said, well, I don't know about all of that, but I know about the mercy of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise God. Are anybody still with me in the house? If you know how to get a hold of the mercy of God, you can change anything. Praise ye the name of the Lord. He said, I'm going to get a hold of the mercy of God. And he said, how do I know? Because he said, I beseech you, Lord. When you are beseeching somebody, you are seeking for their mercy. I beseech you, Lord. And he began to pray, and he began to press. And he would not take no for an answer. And it came to pass, before Isaiah, as he heard this bad news, immediately as he heard this evil report, immediately he went before the Lord. And he said, Lord, I know you are a merciful God. And he got a hold of the mercy of God. And immediately the word of the Lord came back to Isaiah. Isaiah had left his presence and gone into, and the palace used to have this big court and all that. And before he got out into the middle of the court, the word of the Lord returned to Isaiah the prophet. And he said, I want you to go back. And I want you to talk to Hezekiah, the captain of my people. And I want you to say, thus saith the Lord, the God of your father David. Because Hezekiah used the name of David in that prayer, I guarantee you. That's right. Because the Lord will answer you according to your prayer. And because Hezekiah was calling upon the name of the Lord and saying to God, I know what you promised my father David and so forth. And the Lord turned around and told him, well, this is the God, the very God of your father David. Hallelujah. I have heard your prayer. Oh, and I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. Oh my. Now this is the same God that said, set your house in order. You are surely going to die. So which one are you going to take? You're going to go this way or you're going to go this way? Faith, he stands in the middle. The faith of Hezekiah stood in the middle of providence and mercy. And it's a balance, but I guarantee you, mercy wins every time. Can you say praise the name of the Lord? Because he put the mercy seat above even the ark. Hallelujah. Oh, aren't you glad it's the mercy seat and not the judgment seat that he put up there? Praise God. He said, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose iniquity is covered. Is there anybody in the house today whose transgression is forgiven? Oh, I can't hear anybody. Is there anybody in the house who
whose transgression is forgiven? Is there anybody whose iniquity is covered by the blood of Jesus?
Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Lord not only healed him, he gave him 15 more years. You can read the rest of the story. He gave him 15 more years. And he even turned back the hand of the, you know, man. Hezekiah's faith was reaching out. And he turned back the sun dial. Hezekiah caused, you know, you think Joshua made the sun to stand still? Hezekiah went even beyond. His faith caused the Lord to make the sun go backwards. Not even just stand still. How many of you can say praise the Lord?
You say the Lord made him do that? Sure. You know, you can read all about it. Hezekiah chapter, you know, verse 10 of 20. And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow of the, you know, to go down 10 degrees. But, you know, so because, you know, he said, Lord, give me a sign. You know, and the Lord was so merciful to him. The Lord wanted to show him a sign. He said, well, you know, yeah, I know that, but, you know, let the sun go, let the sun dial go backwards. Until this day, if you research science, they'll tell you. It's there. You know. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And he made the sun dial to go backwards. Well, the sun always went one way. But he said, I want to go the other way. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. And the Lord, you know, he got a hold of that mercy of God. And as long as he was on a roll, he kept going. Praise God. And when the mercy of God is working for you, you just lay under that mercy. And you get all you can of his mercy. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So that's how Hezekiah, he turned things around. By the mercy of the Lord. And I see another man, you know, who got a hold of the mercy of God, you know, even in the midst of God's judgment. You know, this is the man David. You heard me speak about him so many times here at the church, you know, and I love, you know, to read the stories of David and so forth, because he was one person that understood the mercy of God in that Bible more than anybody else. And he spoke about it and wrote about it more than anybody else in that entire Bible. You know, and I'm going to read to you a story here in the life of King David in 2 Samuel chapter 24. Of course, you know, David did something that, you know, caused the anger of the Lord to move against him and Israel, because he wanted to number Israel. You know, and the Lord has said that they're going to be like the sands of the sea and so forth like that, which no man could number. But that David, you know, I don't know what God did to him, but he said, well, you know, I'm going to number Israel, you know, and, you know, his chief of staff tried to dissuade him from doing it and said, look, why would you do such a thing? You know, he said, well, do it anyway, you know. So his commandment went forth and they did it and so forth, and the Lord was angry with him. So the Lord was going to bring the destroyer, you know. Oh, yeah. The Lord's going to bring the destroyer now because he's angry. You know, what? And here's the story here in 2 Samuel chapter 24. You can read all about it, but I'm only going to read from verse 12. So the Lord called Gad, who was David's seer. He was like a prophet and so forth. You know, he ministered to David and so forth. And he used to tell him, David would tell him, you know, bring me the ephod and tell me what the Lord says about this thing and so forth. You know, so the Lord said to this man to go tell David, he said, thus saith the Lord, verse 12. Of 2 Samuel 24. I will offer you three things. And I want you to choose one of them that I may do unto you. God's going to bring judgment upon him because of the great evil that he did in trying to number the people of God, which God said will not be numbered. You know, so, and God said, you know, so Gad came to David and said unto him, here's your choice of what God shall do to you. You can choose 7 years of famine to come upon you and the land. Or you can choose 3 months that you will be running helter-skelter and your enemies will be chasing you all over the place and beating you up and so on. You know, and all that. You know, or, you know, the Lord may send 3 days of pestilence in your land. Now, choose which one that the Lord should do unto you. And I want you to notice David's answer in verse 14. And David said unto Gad, he said, I am in a great state. You know, I don't know. I mean, there's, you know, no matter which way I turn, the judgment is great against me. You know. But, and David remembered the mercies of the Lord. Hallelujah!
even in the midst of God's judgment and God's wrath against him,
you know. And David had done a great evil. And then he said, well, here's what I'm going to do. Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord. Hallelujah.
For his mercies are great. And let us not fall into the hand of any man or our enemies or any of these things. I would rather let the Lord be the one that deals out the punishment to me, because I know his mercy is great. Hallelujah, somebody.
And I know that I can get a hold of him, of his mercy, and he will be entreated, and he will return, and he will have mercy, and he will pardon. But if he gives me over to my enemy, those people will finish me. So David said, I want to just fall on his mercy. Let him do to me as he pleases, because I know he's a merciful God.
Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, if you can only understand the depth of that.
If you can only understand it. And the angel of death, the destruction, he stretched out his hand against Jerusalem to destroy it. Because the fury of the Lord was against all of them. You see, and you don't mess with the Lord, you know. Amen. And when he wanted to do that, the Lord remembered the mercy cry that David cried.
Hallelujah, somebody.
And the Lord said, it is enough. Put your sword back.
Oh, give the Lord a praise in here this morning.
Oh, I don't hear your praise here this morning. If you only knew how deep that is. If you only knew what I knew. Oh, you'd be thanking the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I've asked for the mercy of God upon everyone that's here today. I've asked for the mercy of God upon the believers, upon the children of the Lord, upon everybody. Praise God. And no matter which way the destroyer is going, I'm going to get a hold of the mercy of God. Can somebody say amen? Can you say amen in here this morning? And if you know how to use your faith and latch on to his mercy, praise God. Even if desolations are determined sometimes, the mercy of the Lord will prevail for his elect. Can you say praise the name of the Lord? Can you say praise the name of the Lord? Let's read what Moses, before we close, and what David, I meant to say, had to say about the mercy of God. I told you that David, he knew about this mercy. Oh my. And he wrote about it more than anybody else. Psalm 33 and verse 18. He said, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, even upon them that hope in his mercy. Are you hoping in the mercy of the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you cannot get anything from God except by faith. We know that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, but there is a realm that faith can reach to. That is just beyond anything that you can believe for, and it's called the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
When I was a young man, the Lord taught me from an early age, how to use my faith. And I understood that. And I guarantee you, I know a thing or two about that faith. And over the years, the Lord showed me great things by faith and so forth. But I didn't know very much about the mercy of the Lord at all when I was a young man. All I knew was faith, And I could get anything done by the faith of God. And it worked too, And as time went on, I began to understand the mercy of God. Oh, praise God. And there came time when my faith failed a little bit. But I got a hold of the mercy of God. And I came out on top anyway.
Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Oh yeah.
Even when your faith fails, the mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. His mercy endures forever.
Now faith does not endure forever. faith will pass away. Even the Bible says, you know, faith, hope, and charity, you know. But these things pass away. Love, you know, love, the very nature of God will remain, you know. And that's how His mercy remains forever. The psalmist said, the mercy of the Lord endureth throughout all generations. Oh my, it will never fail. Hallelujah. But you've got to use your faith to latch on to the mercy of God. Psalm 147 and verse 11. Psalm 147 and verse 11. He said, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, even in those that hope in His mercy. Hallelujah. If you hope in the mercy of God, if you just rely upon the mercy of God, there are so many things. I don't have time this morning to, you know, that God gave Moses how to typify these things. They even had the brazen altar that in those days, that even if somebody did some crime and some evil and so forth, and they could run and grab the horns of that altar, you know, then, you know, then somehow, you know, they didn't get all the judgment that, you know, they could get. You know, sometimes the mercy will fall for them and so forth. Mercy will stand for them once they got a hold of that altar. And God began to show us some things in there, but He showed us that the mercy seat was above it all. Praise God. Psalm 103 and verse 17. Psalm 103 and verse 17. He said, for the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Can you say praise the name of the Lord? Oh, the mercy of the Lord. Praise God. And let me read to you something that the Lord said about His mercy here in Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9. Paul also, he understood about the mercy of the Lord, and he wrote about it. Romans chapter 9. Talking about things, you know, how we see the mercy of God play out, you know, and sometimes you wonder, because if you don't understand that it's the mercy of God, you may wonder and say, you know, why does God do things this way? But it is the mercy of God. Now let's read this story here in Romans chapter 9. And I'm going to read, you know, from verse 8. Now, he said, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise accounted for the seed. You know, so we're talking about, you are, well, you know, the natural Israel and so forth. You know, those are not the real children of God. It's the children of promise. So he's talking about that. You know, for this is the word of promise. At this time, he said to Sarah, you know, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. That was the word of promise. And not only that, see, but later on when Rebecca had also conceived, Rebecca was, you know, Isaac's wife. And when she had conceived, you know, she had twins in her womb. See, you know, she had twins in her womb. But before even the twins were born, listen to what he said. For the children being not yet born, this is verse 11 of Romans chapter 9. The children that were in her womb, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. They've not done anything. Amen? Amen, somebody? The children were still in her womb. Neither one of them had done good or evil. They were not even born yet. That the purpose of God, according to election, and you're going to find out that this is all by the mercies of God. All these things He does is by the mercies of God. That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. See, they said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. They haven't done anything. You know, why should God say, is there unrighteousness with God? No. Because His providence and His mercy is working out His will. Now listen to this. He said, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Verse 15, he says, no. He said, for He saith unto Moses, which is the verse we read in Exodus before, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And we preached on this about 3 weeks or so ago, the vessels of mercy. And those of you who are vessels of mercy and have received His mercy. So then, it is not of him that willeth. Oh, I love this verse. It's got to be one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It's not of him that willeth. It is not of him that runneth, but it is of God that
showeth mercy. Hallelujah, somebody. It is not because of this or that or whatever or whatever. It is God that showeth mercy. Hallelujah.
Oh, and I have received that mercy, and I bless his name for that. And then the scripture said, you know, to Pharaoh, he said, look, for this purpose I've raised thee up, that I might show your power in thee, and all that. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh in order that he might show his power. And he keeps on repeating, he said, therefore he has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy on. You know, and whosoever he wants, he hardens. That's his business. But I am a vessel of mercy. Are you? Are you a vessel of mercy? Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet here this morning and let us thank him for his mercy with Psalm 136. Psalm 136. I want everybody to turn with me to that psalm. And I told you that David, he wrote about this mercy of God more than just about anybody else in that whole Bible. And this entire chapter is devoted to the mercy of God. The entire chapter of Psalms 136. Praise God. And let's read this together. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, I want to hear that part resounding when we come to that part. Because he punctuates every phrase that he says here with the mercy of the Lord being forever. He just punctuates it. Every single thing he says, he punctuates it by the mercy of the Lord. Even when it looks like God is bringing judgment, he says it is his mercy that endureth forever. So let's read it together. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone doeth great wonders. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. To him that stretched the earth above the waters. To him that made great lights. The sun to rule by day. And the moon and the stars to rule by night. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. And brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. To him that divided the Red Sea into parts. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him which led his people through the wilderness. To him which smote great kings. And slew famous kings. Even Sihon, the king of the Amorites. And Og, the king of Bashan. And gave their land for an heritage. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, who has remembered us in our low estate and has redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Come on, somebody, give thanks to the God of heaven. Somebody give praise. Somebody give praise to him. Because his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to invoke the mercy of God. I am going to invoke the mercy of God upon your life right now. Praise God. Oh yes. Hallelujah. I am going to pray that the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Even as he dispatched the inkhorn writer to mark the heads of the elect, to spare them from the destruction, I'm going to pray that the mercy of God will cover you. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now let's pray. Lift up your hands if you believe God for His mercy here this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, the great God, the merciful God, the merciful, the compassionate God, the Lord God that is full of mercy and of grace, long-suffering and long kindness to your people, Lord, showing mercy to thousands and His goodness to children's children. Lord, we call upon the mercy of the Lord this morning. Have mercy, O God, upon your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We invoke the mercy of God here this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Now remember, it is the enemy that comes to kill. It is the enemy that comes to steal. And it is the enemy's purpose to destroy. But God's thoughts towards us are of peace. Hallelujah, somebody. God's thoughts towards us are of goodness and of mercy. And now, Lord, look upon the mercy of the Lord this morning. Look from above the mercy seat. Hallelujah. Have mercy upon your heritage. Have mercy upon your people, Lord. And stay the hand of the destroyer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay, O Lord, the hand of the destroyer. He said, I will rebuke that destroyer and that devourer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, let the angel of death and destruction, let him hear my word here this morning in the name of the Lord. Hoist up your sword and put it in the sheath in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let mercy come upon the people of God. Because He said, when I see the blood, I will cause the destroyer to pass over you. Now, Lord, I cover your people with the blood of Jesus. I want everybody to invoke the blood upon your life. I cover the blood of Jesus. I cover the people this morning, Lord, with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Upon every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this place. Upon every family, every household. Oh, I plead the blood of Jesus, the blood of atonement, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, Lord, let the Lord have mercy upon us here this morning. You know, Daniel, he prayed for himself and the people of God. He said, Lord, this confusion of faces has come upon us because of our iniquity. He said, but you are a God of mercy. Now, Lord, I pray the God of heaven, have mercy upon your people, Lord. Have mercy, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Because this reproach is against the Lord. It's not against the people of God exactly. It is against the name of the Lord. It is against the name of the Lord that the reproach has come. It is against the name of the Lord that the angel of death has stood up. But let the Lord be jealous for His name this morning. Hallelujah. Let the Lord be merciful for His heritage. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let the Lord repent him of any destruction. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Oh, we know the mercy of the Lord is to them that fear Him. Praise God. Can you rejoice in His mercy this morning? Can you rejoice in the mercy of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, the mercy of God. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, yes. And I looked, and the Lord, He sat on the throne of mercy. Hallelujah. Praise God. And He looked through the blood. And He remembered
Hallelujah. He remembered his mercy and his compassion. Praise the name of the Lord.
Give a lot of praise here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, I want to challenge every one of you this morning, and everybody, every child of God that may hear this message, I want to challenge you to invoke the mercy of the Lord in your life every day. I want to challenge you, because that is a prayer that God never turns back when you ask for His mercy. It doesn't matter how low things are in your life. It doesn't matter how bad things have gotten. When you get a hold of the mercy of God, He will make it new. And He said, "Behold, I make all things new." Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, there may be some of you in here this morning that want to experience that mercy of God afresh. And I'm going to give you a chance to come and receive His mercy in your life. Praise God. If you're here this morning, you've never felt anything quite like this. You've never felt the presence and the mercy of God in your life. You know, you don't even know what it's all about. Well, this is an opportunity for you this morning. Don't let it pass you by. Praise God. And if you're here this morning, you walked away from the Lord. Remember the prodigal son, he walked away from the Father. But one day he came to his senses and he remembered the mercy of his Father. Oh, and the mercy of the Father was waiting for him. Oh, hallelujah. The mercy of God is here waiting for you today. Hallelujah. And if you have a loved one, if you have somebody, anybody, I want you to invoke the mercy of God upon them here this morning. We have a few minutes yet before we close the service. And I'm going to ask anybody, if you want that mercy of God, because the Lord knows what He's doing. The Lord, He knows why He gives us these messages. Praise God. There is a time that God appoints for these things. Hallelujah. The time of refreshing, the time of the mercy of the Lord is here. Will you receive His mercy here today? If that's you, I want you to make your way to the altar and pray for His mercy. And the mercy of God will be upon your life. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that you want. And if you are here this morning, you want salvation, you want God to turn your life around, you make your way to the altar. And you just lay down here on the altar and you begin to pray. And the mercy of God will be with you. Praise the name of the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. And if you have tried some other things, you've tried some things and they didn't work, I want you to try the mercy of the Lord this morning. Oh yes. Even when your faith fails, His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. I want you to try the mercy of the Lord here this morning. So you come for the mercy of the Lord. You come for the mercy of the Lord this morning. Come for the mercy of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. The mercy of the Lord is here today. The mercy of the Lord is with you, young lady. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, have mercy upon her, Lord. I want you to just lay hold on the mercy of God and ask for the forgiveness of God in your life. And He will make you a new person. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. I want everybody that has gone away from the Lord, I want you to come back home. Come back into the mercy of God this morning. And even if you have the sentence of death in you, the doctors give you up. They've written you off. Even like the prophet said to Isaiah said to Hezekiah, set your house in order. You are going to die. I want you to get a hold of the mercy of God this morning. Oh, the mercy of God is beyond all that. Praise God. Father, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord, we invoke your mercy this morning.
I want everybody to sing with me and say, glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. For his mercies endure forever. Amen. For his mercies endure forever. Amen. Glory be to God, highest. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. For his mercy and your breath forever. Amen. For his mercies and your breath forever. Amen. Sing it again. Glory. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. For his mercies and your breath forever. Amen. For his mercies and your breath forever. Amen. Glory to God. Lord, we give you glory, Lord, this morning. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus, because his mercy endureth forever. Amen. May the mercies of the Lord be with you, your loved ones, your household, forever and ever, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And everybody says, praise the name of the Lord.